Being one of the regular preachers in our worship, some people might have certain misconception about me. And that is, I'm actually not on staff in the church. So what do I actually do? I am, in fact, a missionary. I am a local missionary with an international organization that focuses on youth work. My mission field is youth. Youth who have yet to hear of Jesus, who are yet disciples of Christ. I meet them where they are, in the school, to be a positive influence, a trusted adult who would listen well, who they would feel safe to talk to, who they would go to for advice, but most importantly, who would lead them to Jesus. So let's play pretend for a little bit. Pretend you're meeting me for the first time, and I'm to tell you a little bit about myself. Hello, my name is Wayne. Last name is Kwok. I'm a youth worker with a nonprofit organization called Youth Unlimited, Youth for Christ. We are a non-denominational Christian organization committed to extending Christ's love to all youth we connect with. We meet vulnerable youth where they're at. We're about genuine relationships without judgment, with the goal to love like Jesus loved. We see hope and potential in every young person. We desire transformation through relationship, especially relationship with Jesus. I can read all our wordings from the websites, but it's pointless to have me read our website to you right here. Rather, I should tell you where I serve, what I do, but more importantly, why I do it. I am currently at McNeil Secondary, a local public school here in Richmond. Now, it wasn't quite my choice or my decisions to go to McNeil. God chose it. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me tell you a little story. After graduating from Regent College, I have a clear and strong desire to work with youth, especially youth outside the church. But I didn't know where or how I was going to do that. One day, I came across a job posting on Regent's website. I did some research to learn about the organization that put it up. And then I realized it actually does youth work throughout Canada. As I read through it more, I was shocked by the size of this organization. It is a national organization with over 900 staff, 36 chapters across Canada, with over 3,000 volunteers. And then I found out there's actually a team here in Richmond. I got in touch with the director here in Richmond. We made up, and he showed me what he does. We met at one of the high schools, Burnett, actually, and he brought me into the school. We walked around to different classrooms. He introduced me to a few teachers. He told me what he does at the school, the different clubs that he runs, the game clubs, the project serve clubs, and then there's the Christian club. And then he's involved with other things like coaching table tennis, and then he makes care packages with the students and distribute them in downtown Eastside. About 30 minutes, 45 minutes after we walked around, I just turned to him. I said, "Tom Burt, I want to do what you do. I want to do what you do. To be able to be in the public school, to work with youth in their environment, to converse and interact with them." It was as if God was saying to me, "You ask where you want to serve or where you can serve. I am showing it to you now. This is where you can serve." This was March of 2022. I started shadowing the team, observing what they do, the different people, and then I'm going through the necessary hiring process. At the same time, I was thinking about where I would be. Am I going to be in the same school as my supervisor, or where am I going to be? Some of you, if you know my wife, you know she is also a high school teacher. Naturally, one would think I should be in the same school as her. While I was still processing all this happened within weeks. Before I even put my name on the paper or sign any contract, my supervisor, or Tom Burt, called me up. He said, "Wayne, do you ride?" I'm like, "Ride bike?" I'm like, yeah, do you ride bike? I'm like, yeah, I ride bike, but not competitively, just leisurely, just for exercise. I'm like, doesn't matter, this is great. We got a school asking for volunteers to ride bike with students. You're gonna go. I'm like, okay. So May, just less than 2 months, I showed up at McNeil Secondary in my cycling gear, ready to ride. And that is how I started showing up at McNeil. From a human perspective, being at McNeil seemed almost random. But clearly, God had his strategic plan. Every puzzle piece fell at the right time in the right place. It's orchestrated by this almighty conductor who has his symphony all thought out already. We are just mere instruments playing our part when we need to play. As I step into my fifth year at McNeil, I can clearly see how God's hand is at work. The level of trust I've built up with the administration, the teachers, and the students, along with the remarkable level of freedom that I have to serve both inside and outside of the classroom, continuously remind me that God opens doors when no one thinks is possible. So what do I actually do in the school? Now, this is a big question. Have you ever applied for a job when the job has no job description? No. Well, that was how I felt like when I first started. Not in a literal sense, because I do have a job description, but on that job description, it says youth ministry, 50% of the hours. Volunteer ministry, 10% of the hours. Personal training, spiritual development, 10% of the hours. But what do I do with youth ministry? Exactly what do I do every day when I go into the school? There wasn't like an established program that I'm supposed to lead. There wasn't an existing club that I'm taking over from a predecessor because I'm going into a new school. McNeil is new. There was no staff there before me. Establishing new connections with teachers. The principal was super. He gave me an open invitation based on the tremendous trust he has with my supervisor. He literally opened the doors to me. He said, come into the school and do whatever Tom Bird does, and I won't kick you out. The only instructions that I was given was that you can do anything you want. So listen and see what God wants you to do. Seems legit, but also very broad. So technically, what do I actually do every day when I go into the school? There was a period of time at the beginning that I felt like I was endlessly treading water, trying to stay afloat, fighting against the currents to stay hopeful. Little did I know, those years, months, weeks, journeying through the wilderness was my training ground. For my years to be attentive to the Spirit, for my mind to be alert for the prompting, the nudges, the urges of the heart. So as I step into my fifth year, there are some irreplaceable ministries that I have developed in McNeil. My most prominent role is my involvement with the Outdoor Incentive Program. This is a district program for grade 8 to 10 students. Aside from the regular academic courses, the program puts a heavy emphasis on cooperative learning, outdoor experience, all in a multi-grade cohort environment. And here that God has taken the skills and learning that I've gained throughout my 10 years of scouting and put them into ministry. Because I go skiing with the kids, I go sailing, we do nautings, orientation, first aid, survival training, bike repair, we even do Lego robotics, cooking. Over the past few years of journeying with this cohort of students, I have witnessed some remarkable transformations. Some have grown into capable leaders, Some have stepped out of their shyness and self-doubt to become confident and courageous. Some have developed a deeper sense of empathy and compassion for those around them. Others have discovered a clear sense of direction and purpose for the future. These are the kinds of life changes that becomes possible through consistent presence and intentional mentoring, long-term investment in the next generation. From the outside, it may not seem the gospel was preached in any of these activities. However, it is through individual conversations and quiet demonstration that Jesus is shared. I remember there was one time we were having circle time with the grade eights. Usually, every Monday morning, we'll go around in the circle time, picking a question card from a box, and the group will take turn answering them. That particular morning, the question was, share about one thought that you often quietly ask yourself. Okay? So each person goes around answering. I don't remember all the answers from all the students, but one particular girl's answer stuck with me. She said, I often wonder what it is like to have a father. Another aspect of my involvement in McNeil is with the Grade 10 Career Life course. I am one of the returning speakers where I challenge students to think more deeply about career, success, purpose, and the kind of life they ultimately want to pursue. I teach them a concept that I've learned when I was young. It is a paradigm, a way of thinking that I inherit from Uncle Benny Chin, if you know him. I take his teaching, I tailored it for the public school, keeping all the Christian values, all the Christian worldviews, and I challenge the student on the conventional secular understanding of life, purpose, and success. Additionally, I support the school's resource center. I go help out in the life skill program, walking alongside vulnerable youth as they navigate through various challenges that impact their learning and their growth. I'm also the go-to field trip chaperone. Whenever a teacher needs to bring a group of students on field trips, they usually come to me because I'm the one that doesn't need to get paid, and I can go on with them so they have more eyes on the students. We've done some amazing things. We've done cardboard boat building. So they take cardboard and they build boats and we race them in Watermania, try to see which boat makes it across. And we go to Food Bank with the rec leaderships. These are opportunities that are more than just programs. These are relationships. Every conversation and every moment of connection is an opportunity to demonstrate the love of God. This ministry of presence brings hope and transformation to the lives of young people. When school is off during the summers, my ministry doesn't stop. Last summer, I turned my own passion into ministry, and I kickstarted two initiatives. That was a tremendous success. The first is a cooking class. I called it Cooking Challenge with Wayne. I partnered with our awesome brother from the church, Alex, if you know him, Chef Alex. And we crafted a series of cooking classes for high school students. My intention and mission is for youth to learn the essential life skill of cooking and get them outdoor and get them detached from the screen. The youth marveled at their accomplishments when they made pasta from scratch, discovered how easy it was to mix their own curry powder and cook up curry fish balls, and learn not to fear working with knives when they julienne and dice carrots. This summer, we're right in the midst of running this course again. In fact, we had two classes already, and we have three more to go. So why do I do what I do? As I spend time with the students, a few of the questions they eventually ask is, why are you here? It's like, why do you do what you do? So most students are mystified when they discover that I'm not paid by the school to be there. It seems inconceivable that I would willingly volunteer my time and energy to spend time with them. It challenged their sense of work. More importantly, for some, it redefined their sense of worth, that they are not a burden. Somebody actually wants to be there with them. Somebody truly cares. My presence at Mineo is a tangible demonstration of God's love. Now, I cannot love every single person in the school. There's about 1,000 students in the school. But I can build connections with as many as I can. For these youth, they are at the stage of discovery and exploration for themselves, or of themselves, of the people around them, of the world that they're in. They're finding purpose, defining goals, shaping their future. For many, however, they carry unspoken burdens, unrealistic expectations, or untold hurts. The school is a place for learning, but there is so much more to life than just academics. To grow holistically, not only intellectually, but also emotionally, mentally, and more importantly, spiritually. To be human beings, fully alive. Being honest with you, I have never actually wished to be a missionary. I grew up in the Alliance tradition. I remember year after year, my church would host mission fests where missionaries would visit from around the world to share stories of their work, encourage the congregation to engage in expanding the kingdom of God. One consistent thought echoed in my mind as I listened to these messages was, kudos to those who respond. Kudos to those who answer the call. But that's not my call. And it's not that I stood against serving God, no. It's just that I have absolutely no desire to travel to a faraway land to spread the gospel. Moreover, who was I to answer the call at that time? I was just a high school student. The turning point came in the year of 2005. I was in a real slump. By then, I had already finished my bachelor. I've also got a diploma from BCIT. And working as a GIS specialist, a cartographer for a few years. I was doing research with UBC and a few other government departments. But after the last contract finished, I spent 9 months job searching and couldn't find another contract. That season brought me waves of doubts and uncertainties. It also brought an opportunity that initially I thought it didn't concern me. The organization that I had grew up with and volunteered with, Ambassador for Christ, was hiring a graphic designer. I was like, okay, but what does that have to do with me? I'm a GIS specialist. I'm not a graphic designer. And I was not prepared to divert my path away from the investment that I've already made for my career. But in all reality, I have nothing better to do. Because I was just home, staring at a screen, trying to find a job. So I bargained with God, and I agreed to give him 1 year. And that year changed me. God spoke so loudly that I could not ignore him. I knew wholeheartedly that I had been blessed during my younger years to have people whom I could look up to and model after, leaders, coaches, mentors, who kept me on a straight path. And God challenged me with one question, the only question that kept repeating. The question, it is now your turn. It is now your turn. It's your turn to be someone else's big brother. Will you pick up the baton? From that moment until now, for 20 years, I have not regretted picking up that baton to say to God, all that I am, all that I have, use it for your glory. And God has been gracious. Little by little, he did use me. Throughout the Bible, there are two people I resonate with the most, or at least I admire the most. One is Peter. I admire how he was so bold to a point that some might even say he's reckless, simply because he trusted Jesus without a shadow of a doubt. He wholeheartedly believed that whatever Jesus said, whatever Jesus commanded, he can do. Even walking on water. When Jesus says it, he can do it. The other person that I admire is Esther. No, not because I want to be a queen or that I envy being in a beauty pageant. I admire Esther for her courage, but more so for her willingness to respond when the opportunity comes. I want to read a passage from Esther, because from this passage, we uncover three theological truths about God. But before we read the passage, let's give you a refresher to the story. We can all use a little reminder to this section of the narrative, the story of Esther. The story of Esther starts with Esther chosen as the new queen in the kingdom of Persia through a beauty pageant. Because King Xerxes threw out his last king for disrespecting him. Yes, Xerxes has some crazy temper and some pretty unforgivable rules. One of the rules is nobody can go see him without him initiating it, and anyone who does go see him dies. Now, one of Xerxes' highest officials is named Haman. Haman yearns for people's respect. He requires everyone to bow down to him as he parades down the streets. But there was one guy who stood out, ignoring him. His name is Mordecai. Now, surely you can imagine Haman is furious and wants to get rid of this troublemaker. After finding out that Mordecai is an Israelite, that's when things start getting out of hand. Haman now not only wants to get rid of Mordecai, he wants to get rid of all the Jews in the empire. It's like, whoa. What? Because hidden deep in Haman's heart, he carries a generational grudge against the Israelites. Now, there's no time to get into that, but we'll keep going, okay? Long story short, Haman was able to trick the king into signing an edict to execute all the Jews in the entire empire. Mordecai heard the news, and he cried his heart out. Now, Esther looks out from the palace, saw Mordecai sobbing his lungs out, sends a servant to find out what's going on. Now, apparently, Esther, being in the palace, has no idea about the edict. So Mordecai explains it to her. Esther, after hearing all the explanations, like, what do you want me to do? Everyone knows it's a death sentence to see the king without being summoned. There's nothing I can do. And this is the passage that Mordecai answer Esther with. Esther chapter 4, verse 13. Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. The first theological truth we've discovered here is that we see God doesn't need us to do his work. Yeah, I said it right. God doesn't need us to do his work. One of the misconceptions that we often have is we think we're doing God a big favor when we serve. We sacrifice our time, we spend our energy, we make ourselves available to do God's work, to serve him. Ooh, maybe we should give you an award, a medal for this. for all your sacrifices? What kind of God do you serve? A little statue that sits on a nightstand that needs you to dust his face off? Or are you serving a God who spoke the world into existence? Is our God so incapable that he requires human intervention? That he needs our assistance and our help to finish his work? No. No, our God is more capable than that. God of the universe doesn't need our help to do his work. Look at the exact word that Mordecai said. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews. In Mordecai's mind, the genocide was never going to wipe out God's people. Even if that's what the edict says, to execute all the Jews. But more in Mordecai's mind, God was never going to allow that to happen. He never questioned whether the Jews would be saved or not. They will be saved. God is, God has, God will always be in control. His will be fulfilled in his time. For Mordecai, the Israelites' deliverance is not a question. It will happen. The only question is whether Esther chooses to be a part of God's plan of deliverance. Maybe you being queen is exactly for this purpose. Or will she choose not to participate in God's redemption, at which Mordecai warns will lead to her and her father's household perishing? When we take this into the New Testament era, for the church, it is the same. God doesn't need us to expand his kingdom. God chooses to include us in his work. Have you wondered, Pastor Fisiana gave us a little bit of it, but why we call this series co-mission? See, Jesus gave us the commission, right? But co-mission is a little different from commission. It's not a typo. The church is commissioned. So now the church carries that mission. Doesn't the church have a mission to evangelize the world? Doesn't the church bear the responsibility to spread the gospel? Actually, no. Jürgen Moorman said this. He's a theologian, a scholar. It is not the church that has a mission of salvation to fulfill in their world. It is a mission of the Son and the Spirit through the Father that includes the church. Ooh. No. Christopher writes, echoing what Jürgen Moorman said, Chris writes this, "It is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world, as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for mission. Mission belongs to God. The church participates. It is God's mission to show his love, to demonstrate his love. It is God's mission to have people turn to him. And God created the church to help fulfill this mission, to allow us to join him in this mission. When Jesus, in all authority in heaven and on earth, commissioned the disciples, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, he is not telling the disciples to go do something new or something not done before. No. In John 20, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus is inviting us into the community of sending and going. But Jesus wasn't the one initiating the sending. The initiator is the Father. As the Father sends the Son, who incarnate in human form, now the Son sends the church. We are invited into a much deeper and greater community than simply that of a mortal community of brothers and sisters. We are invited into the mission of the triune God, working with the Holy God. We're not simply commissioned. We are invited to participate in God's mission, in partnership with God, in co-mission with God. This is all because God desires to have us participate in his work. God delights in having us join him in his work. Let's look at it with an analogy. Maybe we'll understand this better. Imagine you are baking in the kitchen one day, chocolate chip cookie or banana bread. Your 5-year-old niece comes to the kitchen. What are you doing? Oh, I'm making banana bread. Ooh, okay. And then runs off. Okay. After you finish, the bread comes out from the oven. Ooh, smells so good. Can I have some? Please, can I have some, please, please? Would you deny her having any banana bread? No, you did not help me. You are not going to have any of my banana bread. Nobody does that. So let's rewind a bit, okay? The niece comes running into the kitchen. What are you doing? Oh, I'm making banana bread. Ooh, can I join you? Your thought may be, oh man, you're going to make a mess. Flour's going to be everywhere. You're going to spill the sugar. It's going to be a nightmare. Now, even if those are the thoughts in your head, would you deny your 5-year-old niece helping you make banana bread? No. No. Nobody's going to deny her. This is the Father's heart. The Father desires to have us join him in what he does, to be with him as he accomplishes his work. His heart leans towards us, longs for us to make that choice. That is why he invites us to join him, all of us to join him. Not a selected few who went through seminary school, or the select few who grew up in the church, or those who live a good Christian life. No, God invites all of us. Jesus' commission was to the church. Every disciple who choose to abide in him and respond to him. The first disciples were ordinary people. They were not the elites of the society. They were fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary people. But they have all one thing in common. That they choose to respond. Jesus said, come and see. And they came. Jesus said, come, follow me. And they came. Jesus said, go, and they went. They all choose to respond. Peter chose to respond. Esther chose to respond. Will you choose to respond? The kingdom of God has never been built by spectators. It has always been built by ordinary people who said yes to God's invitation to participate. God doesn't need us. God has never needed humans to accomplish his purpose. Yet throughout scripture, he chooses to accomplish his purpose through people, not because he is weak, but because of his love. The invitation to participate is itself an act of grace. Back when I was young, when God asked me to commit my life in serving the next generation, I said, yes, I want in. 5 years ago, when I saw what God is doing in the public school in Richmond, I said, yes, I want in. 20 years ago, when Joshua and Wilbur told me they were starting a new church to demonstrate what a Christ-centered community can be, I said, yes, I want in. Last week, when Pastor Wilbur presented all the goals for the church for the next 10 years, when we are proclaiming we are going all in for Jesus, are you sitting here thinking to yourself, kudos to those who respond? Or are you firm in your commitment with a burning desire in your heart? Yes, I want in. The kingdom of God is built by ordinary people who said yes to God's invitation to participate. Are you in or are you out? It takes courage. It takes boldness. It is always a leap of faith. It is stepping into the unknown. You never have all the answers before committing. That's why it takes faith. But that is exactly what discipleship is. Deliberately handing control over to God, willingly surrendering and allowing God to take you where you do not know. But when you do so, you will go where you have never thought possible. You will experience what you never imagined. To work in partnership with the Almighty God, to see mountain move, to walk on water, not because we are strong or mighty, simply because we are willing. There are many, many more stories I can share with you from my time with Youth Limited. Stories like Lucas and Renaya. But I want to present another opportunity before you. As I said earlier, I am a missionary. By that, I mean I need to find ways to fund my ministry. It is through brothers and sisters like you. In the simplest term, I need around $5,300 a month to make this work possible. Currently, I'm about 50% of that. I have a dream. A dream that every young person in Richmond will have the opportunity to hear about Jesus and his gospel. I dream that when lives are touched by God and his spirit, they will be transformed. Brokenness will be mended. Healing will be found. If what it takes for me to go where they are, to be someone who demonstrates God's love to them, if what it takes is for me to be a missionary, then I will willingly be a missionary. Can I ask you to join me in prayer? Father Jesus, I thank you that you choose to include us in your work. You are the Almighty God who spoke the world into existence. You do not need us, but you created us, you formed us so that we can be here with you. And you desire even more that we can work with you. However, in our capacity, in our circle of influence, God, I pray that you use us. Help us to have this willing heart to be used by you. Choosing to say yes, you can use me. Yes, Lord, I want in to be part of your work, to be part of your kingdom, to be part of your mission. Use me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.